I mean, I go to church, the largest church in Montgomery. I mean, come on, Lord. Welcome. Search my heart. See if there's any hurtful way. Another question I asked, by the way, I didn't find any abnormal sin that would cause this, just the normal sins I've wrestled with for 55 years. So I thought, wow, why would God allow this? Is he weak? In a room like this, there are a lot of hurts. Why doesn't God stop them? Why doesn't he care? You know, we had to back up a little bit and see what's going on. He didn't break the world. Who did? We did. So our breaking the world with sin causes all this hurt and pain and suffering. And now I get angry at him because he doesn't fix it the way I want him to. He's gonna fix it all right. He's given his son. He's given the Holy Spirit. He's given promises to return and make everything right. I know, but I have ALS. Okay. Could there be a bigger reason than me? Could there be a reason that God allows this? Must be. You're all adults. There are many, many parents here. Most of you are. How many times have you allowed your children to hurt knowing it was good for them? Some of you said, I'm going to hurt you. This is good for you, right? Why can't I give God that same privilege, that same love? Hear the verse in 1 Peter. Rejoice, though for a little while you have trials, that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, may be tested by fire, and to be found the salvation of your soul. Genuine faith, found in the midst of hardships, suffering, brokenness, something beautiful comes out of the ashes of this world. Could it be that a genuine faith is better than a suffering-free life? You chew on that one. That one, if we believe it by faith, we welcome every trial and suffering we share in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. Another reflection is this idea of, come on in, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know the psalm is, I mean, I'm looking at you right now, and most of us think, hey, I'm pretty fearfully, wonderfully made, right? 18-year-olds, look at them over there. They look great. But the biggest beauty is all on the inside. You are fascinating people, creatures. And by falling apart, you realize how beautiful you really are, how complex. I struggle with swallowing. It takes muscles to swallow. In fact, it takes 100 muscles to swallow. Do it. Quarter of a second, 50 pairs of muscles working in unison, 6 cranial nerves coordinating everything. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. And my soul knows it well. You know, in this room, many of you are hurting, falling apart, worse than I am, actually. A lot of pain, nerve pain, dementias. It's here, isn't it? While we are crumbling, let us give glory and praise to the Creator of how wonderful, complex our body is. I also learned something about falling. I'm not going to demonstrate, but I do trip often. My legs don't pick up like they used to, and that muscle memory, boom. I tripped actually on the stone walkway back here. It happens all the time. Many of you understand. I was in Cambridge, London, or England, a few months ago with some of our students, and I was coming out of a shop, and there was a lip. I didn't see it, so I dropped, and my thigh muscles aren't as strong as they used to be, and I fell. Now, I fell perfectly on 2 knees right at the same moment. It actually was beautiful to see. And I was there, and in this middle of a square, I was conscious that people were looking at me, but the only thing I could really think of at the moment is, this would be a great place to pray. And after I got up and dusted off my knees, I realized that's not a bad principle. When you fall, pray. Why not? Immediately. The Apostle John said, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess immediately. Why wait? Why wait? Today, we're going to fall. Maybe even before we leave here, confess your sins immediately. There's another thought I was having. This one's a little more humbling. That is, I know I will eventually be a memory. My job, Eastwood School, will go on without me. The city of Montgomery will go on without me. First Baptist, you have been going on without me. I'm gonna be a memory. Even if they take my idea and put a big statue of me in the schoolyard, I'll still be a memory. Oh, some of you may attend my funeral. Thank you. But life will go on. You'll think about me less and less, and you'll carry on with the issues of life and the world. That's the way it works. I don't need to think too highly of myself, do I? So who do I want to remember me? You know, my son and daughter-in-law, they lost a one-month-old a year ago, heart failure. You all have lost children and grandchildren, horribly painful. My daughter-in-law had a tattoo on her, put on her heart. It said Ruby Mae. That was my granddaughter's name. Beautiful. Ruby Mae. A mother not going to forget her daughter. Isaiah the prophet made mention of this. He said, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she no longer feel love for the child she gave birth to? He said, of course not. But even if she could forget, God said, I will not forget you. That's powerful. Who do you want to remember you? I want God to remember me. The verse right after that, God speaks to the prophet and said, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. You are continually before me. God remembers his children. There is comfort. There is joy in that. There is deep peace in a broken world, knowing that as a child of God, you are going to be remembered by him. You will not be forgotten like we forget our dead. That's beautiful in Christ. Well, another reflection I was thinking about. How do you measure a man's worth? You know, I'm talking mainly to the men right now. I mean, what do we like about ourselves? Well, how strong we are, our hands, our arms, our legs, our backs, how much work we can do. I mean, we also like how beautiful we are. I've got a dose of that, don't I? All right? We like all this stuff. How do we, and we say I'm important. Well, all of that is starting to disappear in my life. All the tools that I use to feel important and valuable, they're leaving the tool bag. What am I left with? How do you measure your importance, your value? There's a beautiful passage in to the Corinthians that said, don't lose heart, though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. You are all crumbling. You feel it. If you're over 40, you feel it, don't you? You're crumbling. But you don't have to crumble on the inside. You can actually be renewed day by day, being built more and more into the life of Christ Jesus. I mean, that is the opposite of what we hear in the world system today. Take care of your body. Make it look good. Keep it looking young. Make sure you're in shape. Don't do that. Do this. Drink this. Don't drink that. Why? Take care of your body, your body, your body. And what do we do with our inner man? Yeah, who cares? Make money and it doesn't matter. The world has it flip-flopped. We, the church, should loudly proclaim that the inner man is that which lives forever, and the outer man will crumble, and we will be renewed and remade. Have no shame of that truth found in Christ Jesus. Another thought. Apart from muscle, I can do very little. I'm realizing how much of the body functions with muscle. They're all falling apart. It's complicated to live without muscle. Eventually, many of the patients who have ALS will have paralysis. I am probably going to have that in a year or two. And then the lungs need muscle to breathe, and they quit, and so I will suffocate in a paralyzed position. Without muscle, I can do nothing physically. You know, I paralleled and paraphrased a verse Jesus said. He said nothing about muscle. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That nothing has a new meaning in my life. I'd like you to think about that. Could it be that without Jesus abiding in the vine, we really can do nothing spiritually? I mean nothing, like paralysis. All of our good works, attendance, activities, giving, without abiding in Jesus, they're nothing. I want to abide in Jesus. Okay, we're going to draw to a close in about 14 minutes. I'm committed to being church on time. I want to give you a couple of closing thoughts. I was in my office a couple of weeks ago, and I choked. Happened more than I wish. I didn't choke on water or coffee or food. Choked on saliva, of all things. And I choked seriously. And what happened, the muscles sort of tightened up and it grabbed my windpipe and I couldn't breathe. So I'm sitting here at my desk, choking and not breathing. And I'm thinking, all right, relax, I'll let go. It took a lot longer than I was comfortable to relax. I had these horrible thoughts of my staff finding me there, choking on saliva of all things. Well, obviously I lived. But I got thinking about my body was so committed to get air. It wanted air so badly. And I thought about my soul. You know, the soul wants living air badly. God's air, the breath of God, the soul wants it. But the soul is different than the body. The soul wants it, but it will allow us to give it something else. You can give artificial air to your soul. You can fill it with money, vacation, pleasure, people, hard work. You can fill it with something and, yeah, you can function as long as you're breathing air, but your body will, your soul will slowly suffocate and die, even though your body lives. I want to breathe the air of God. I want truth, and truth is found in the scriptures and the teachings of Jesus. I don't want comfort. I don't want a bucket list of happy activities. I want living truth about the resurrected future. Did Jesus come back from the grave? If so, there's hope for us. If not, It's hopeless. He did come back. There were witnesses. It changed the world. They went out telling others, there's hope for the body, for death. In fact, the scripture says, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed through the resurrection. Your pure heart is tied to the resurrected Christ. That's where you live with power, through pain, suffering, and death. Well, as I was thinking about breathing, I was toying with the idea of, I wonder what my last words will be, or what will my last breath, where will I be? And so last Christmas, I wrote a song that some people have found meaningful, and we're gonna play it now. And it's contemplation on using your last breath, and then we'll wrap up. So let's do that now.
Well, now death has been hovering around my door. Adam unlocked it, but I did much more. My body is crumbling, but my spirit is strong. He who has ears, come hear my song. He who has ears, come hear my song. Go ahead and crush me, break my legs, break my hands. You're the one with limited days, of that we understand. Don't forget there is a heel that will smash your wicked head. Heaven will rejoice when death is dead. Squeeze your hand around my throat, take my voice away. A song is more than words and notes. I will find a way. Suffocation doesn't stop the breath of God's word. Your pitiful presence is mockingly absurd. With my last breath, I will sing of God's goodness. With my last breath, I will tell of his mercy. With my last breath, I believe beyond the grave there is hope even in death. With my last breath, I will sing of God's goodness. With my last breath, I will tell of his mercy. With my last breath, I will speak before the King who gives life beyond our death. Eden's dirt. Into there I will return, but with no lasting hurt. The kindness of your love is felt each wasting day. Thanksgiving, praise, and hope is all I say. Dear family, darkness is approaching. We must part a little while. Our tears hold no bitterness. They will dry with a smile. Make the most of your days. They really are not long. Inside of you there lies your own song. With my last breath I will sing of God's goodness. With my last breath I will tell of his mercies. With my last breath I believe beyond the grave there is hope even in death. With my last breath I will sing of God's goodness. With my last breath I will tell of his mercies. With my last breath I will speak before the King who gives life beyond our deaths. With my last breath.
Thank you. I mentioned that next weekend is Memorial Day, isn't it? Some of our family members and friends of this church gave their last breaths in battle. You are all in the taking breaths, getting closer to your last breath. How are we using our breath? I heard a hallelujah. We need to use our breath in praise. In all things, give thanks. Some of us here have been really grumbling and complaining under the suffering. Give thanks in all things. We need to use our last breath in forgiveness. It's easy to hold grudges, to not forgive, to not repent. I apologize. Forgive me. I was wrong. I forgive you. We need to use our last breath in lordship. Jesus, I've been making excuses. I'm like Peter on the beach. I'm always looking for some way out of following you. Forgive me. I follow you, Jesus. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? You are Lord. I am the servant. What a good way to use your breath. And then some of you and some of us need to fall down for the first time and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm wretched. I'm dying on the outside and the inside. I'm a dead man. Forgive me. Wash me in your blood and resurrect me new. Make me a new man within and a future new body. Aren't these great ways to use our breath? I'd like to pray for you, and then we'll head to worship. Oh, great Almighty God, the giver of life, who breathed breath into dirt, and we became a living being made in your image. We are fearfully, wonderfully made. Thank you, O Lord. We have also horribly broken ourselves. Forgive us. We have damaged others and damaged ourselves. We've run away from you. Forgive us. We embrace you. We return to you. We ask to be washed clean from our heinous sins. You love us and are willing to forgive. Restore to us the joy of salvation. And may this body of believers here, Lord, now use their breath in Montgomery and beyond to speak of your goodness and your glory and invite others into this relationship. Lord, when they find our bodies, may our breath have been used for your kingdom's goodness. That's our prayer. We love you. It's a privilege to be your children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, First Baptist.